Eternal grant to me.
A reading from St. Mark chapter 10. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Dear saints, think through your family, and think through your friends, and think through the people at your work and in your community. You got some faces in mind. And then ask the question, who can be saved? Now, if you're like most, you probably have some over here that could be saved, and you have some over here that likely won't be saved. Jesus kind of challenges us this evening, and he challenges me. You know, and as pastors, we've got another pastor in here too, we're always kind of tempted to think of these categories. Who can be saved? And by the way, you're all in, right? You're here at church on a Wednesday evening. You're the pious group, right? You come to church on a Wednesday evening. You're in. But you know who I'm talking about, right? The ones in your families, the ones at your workplaces, the ones in your communities that you're a lot more tempted to put in this category here. One of the things that Jesus has been doing on our Wednesday evenings as we've gone through Mark, especially Mark chapter 9 and Mark chapter 10, is he is taking the group that we would put over here, the ones who are the most likely to be saved, and he is challenging that. So one of the things he did most recently is there was an argument among the disciples about who was the greatest. And Jesus did a very shocking thing. He picked up a little child, somebody who doesn't add much to society, somebody who takes away from society a lot of work, but not a lot of addition, and he puts it in the midst of them and says, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me." And then later he will say, "You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child. See, he took this big, the group of adults who can add to society, who can do lots of things, and he challenges instead and says, be a receiver, be like a little child. Jesus is all the time kind of in a war with the Pharisees, so much so that we can kind of be tempted to think that Pharisees were bad people. Was that true? No. Who were the Pharisees? They were the best people. They attended church all the time. They were good people. They were good in their community. They were good to their families. They were wealthy. If they were wealthy, they tithed well. You think of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? He tithes and he gives. These were good people. And so if anyone could enter the kingdom of God by how great they were, it would be the Pharisees. Last week, Jesus did, he encountered a rich young man who was a good person or a bad person, if we can kind of think in that category. He was a good person. He was a good person. Because Jesus says, you know the commandments, honor your father and mother, you shall not steal, you shall not murder. And the man's response is, teacher, I have done all these since my youth. He was a good person and he was rich. So he was good, and it seemed that the Lord blessed him, but what does Jesus say to the man? Go, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. And then this is where we get the text now. This is the response that Jesus has with his disciples. The disciples, what's their response to all of this? Jesus looks around to his disciples after this, and he says, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. What's the response of the disciples in verse 24? The disciples were amazed at his word. We don't want to miss that. And this is what I'm trying to get at. I want us to still be amazed at those words, because this was the group that we would put over here, the most likely to be saved by how good they were, how generous they were, how faithful they were to their communities and to their families. And so Jesus, the response of the disciples is absolute amazement that it is difficult for them to enter the kingdom of God. So difficult, and Jesus will say, that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And just so that you know, just to kind of repeat the point, these are not the rich tax collectors. These are not the ones who are stealing. These are the good, rich people who are generous. And Jesus says how difficult it is. And verse 26, remember, they were amazed before. Now what are they? They are exceedingly astonished. And they said what? Then who can be saved? Right? If this group can't be saved, who can? What's the response? With man, it is impossible. So Jesus knocks down all efforts of getting into heaven based on what we can do. And that is so very important for us to hear. Because sometimes you are good people. Sometimes, right? I know some of you sometimes. Right? With man, it is impossible. No matter how good, no matter how wealthy, no matter how generous, no matter how faithful, with man, it is impossible. You know, be shocked at those words, especially when you are feeling really, really good about the things that you do. With man, it is impossible. It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for you to enter the kingdom of God with what you are doing. But that, of course, is not all that Jesus says. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. See, he wants to knock anything that we can bring to the table so that we might always see that he brings everything to the table. That we have a rich God who became poor so that we might have heavenly treasures. That we have a God who did the impossible. He is the creator, and he became a part of his creation. He is the judge, and he became also our Savior. He forgives you. He died for you. He rose for you. He does everything. And then the final section of this story gets to the perhaps one of the great temptations of Christianity. And that is to say, I know I am not saved by my works. I know I am saved by faith. But then to think what? That you believe yourself. That you're the one that created that faith. That you're the one that sustains that faith. So there's a, you know, I made a decision for Jesus. That's a kind of a popular way of saying it too. So what's Peter's response? With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Peter then says this, see, we have left everything and followed you. We did it. But who did it? Jesus did, right? By grace, you're saved through faith, but this not of your own doing. It is a work of God so that no one may boast. So we just got done singing. Now, let's not miss the point again. This is the group over here. They did leave everything, right? They really did. And they really are following Jesus. And they will go through great persecutions. Peter's going to be crucified upside down. Every single one of the apostles is going to be martyred, except for John, who was sentenced into confinement before, and they will be faithful. But how are they faithful? Is it their work? Mm-hmm. It's God's work. I mean, and that's we're getting ready to celebrate All Saints Day here in a few weeks. And that's one of the things that we rejoice on that day, is how faithful God is, not only to us, but to his people. And we rejoice in that. So we just got done singing, let us ever walk with Jesus, follow his example pure. And they did it. And so are you. No, you're here. You're hearing God's word. You say your prayers. You try and love God. You confess your sins. You receive the supper. You believe that you are baptized. You believe you are doing it, except who's doing it? Jesus is doing it. Because if it was up to you, it would be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Even you being saved, and even me. Any thoughts and questions and comforts from tonight's reading?
I was just thinking the parallel of James about your good works.
Right.
When you were talking about our works earlier.
Right. Right.
And last week I was thinking about this text when we were talking about the young man.
Right.
And I was looking at the similarities.
It falls in there. Yeah. It falls in right one after the other too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So what does James say? Do you remember what James says about works?
Faith without works.
Yeah, he does say that. He says mm-hmm. He says faith without works is dead. Or he'll say, show me. I know how it ends. I'll show you my faith by my works. And, you know, and kind of in thinking about this, it would be impossible to please God on ourselves. It's only a work because God has worked it in us, you know, and he forgives the badness, and he works in us too. And it is amazing what, I mean, like, if I were Jesus, I would have responded to Peter, you know, come on, man, you know, shut up, right? You know, the only reason you followed me is because I gave you the Holy Spirit who enlightened you with his gifts and sanctified and kept you in the true faith. But he doesn't. He gives Peter credit. You know, he says, you did leave everything. You are following me. And I promise you, you'll get a reward. And you also have persecutions. You'll get a reward here and you'll get a reward later. It is amazing how Jesus gives us credit for the things that he works in us. Like when I give my children money and they go and buy me something nice, right? I give them credit for it. But the only reason you got works is because Jesus gave you gifts to do that too. Other thoughts from this text? let's rise and let's pray. Let us pray. O God, your divine wisdom sets in order all things in heaven and on earth. Put away from us all things hurtful, and give us those things that are beneficial for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have revealed to us that when it comes to entering the kingdom of God, with us it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So possible only because of what you have done by dying on a cross, by dying the death that we deserved, by receiving the wrath that we deserve so that we might receive your blamelessness and holiness within the Father's sight. We thank you that you give us a kingdom right here by giving us your word, by giving us your body and your blood, by strengthening our faith right now so that we know we might have the kingdom even as we continue to pray, thy kingdom come. We thank you that you are near the brokenhearted, that you save the crushed in spirit, so that as we come confessing our sin, as we come suffering in this world, we know that you are near us to save us and to comfort us. Hear us as we pray for all of those that we now name with hearts and voices, the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit, and those that we now say.
Alfonso Flo, Tony Knox,
Sylvia Stenbank,
Sylvia
Vanda, Trisha Reed,
as Christians living in the kingdom of God, not of this world, but also living in the kingdom of man, of this world, we pray for those in authority over us, for our policemen and firefighters, our government officials. We pray for teachers and for schools, for everybody who are in God-pleasing occupations and hospitals and nursing homes, and the selling of goods and services and of farmers. Bless and defend us all from all evil as we try to live a God-pleasing life. And as we continue to ask, O Lord, who can be saved? We thank you that you have sent your Son for the whole world, that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. For with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We pray everything through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day
and I pray that you will forgive me all my sins, what I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.